Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that many people struggle with as they grow up in the world is trying to figure out who they are and what is their purpose in life. They want desperately to find their identity in life. Many people travel to many places and follow many pathways to try and discover meaning in life, trying to find themselves. Well, for us, it is very different. For all who call themselves Christians, we have an identity in Christ. We've been given a marvelous title in this world, Christian, a name that sets us apart from all other religions in the world and sets us apart in this world. To be a Christian means to be God's special treasured possession in Christ. And all of this also gives us purpose and meaning in life. This morning, Marika and Ethan have professed their faith as Christians before God and us, His people. Christians are people who belong to Christ. We are members of a body, all attached to and ruled by the same head, Jesus Christ. The tie that binds Christians to Christ is that of faith, the act of surrendering our souls to Christ. And the tie that binds Christ to Christians is that of the Holy Spirit, ensuring God's presence always in our hearts. It was this Spirit who anointed Christ, endowing Him with all the gifts necessary to discharge His office. And the same Spirit also anoints us as Christians, enabling us to discharge our offices, to live out our calling as prophet, priest, and king. This is a calling that we all share and all have. No one is excluded. This is who we are. This is what our purpose in life is. This is what gives our life meaning. We don't have to wrestle with what our calling needs to be, what our identity is. We are Christians, anointed by God, who share in Christ's anointing. I bring you God's word as summarized for us in question answer 32 of the catechism with the following theme: the Christian shares in Christ's anointing. Beloved, we are reminded in question answer 31 of Christ's anointing as prophet, priest, and king. And in this threefold office, He became our perfect and complete Savior. In Him, all we need to be reconciled to God and restored to life has been accomplished for us. In His office as prophet, He has showed us the way of salvation. As our high priest, He has opened the way of salvation. And as king, He has secured for us the way of salvation. And now, as long as Christ is outside of us, all the blessings of salvation remain apart from us. Christ's person and work only become ours through faith in Jesus Christ. A faith awakened by His Word and Spirit, whereby He unites us with Himself. And this miracle of union with Christ is all of God's grace. And this is a fruitful, life-giving union. It is a union whereby, as Galatians 2 verse 20 reminds us, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ's life is communicated to all who repent and turn to Him. And it brings us to the question of why we are called a Christian. And the Catechism answers, because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in His anointing. So what does this all mean? What does it mean to share in Christ's anointing? Beloved, by faith we are bound to Christ as members of His body. And as members of His body, we share in His anointing. It does not say that Christ has His anointing and that we have ours. This is not at all the case. Instead, we share in Christ's anointing and have part in His Spirit. When someone was anointed to office with oil in the Old Testament, the oil was poured over that person's head and spilled down across their face and down over the rest of their body. The head was anointed, but the whole body shared in that anointing. Think of what we read in Psalm 133. The precious oil poured on Aaron's head, running down on his beard and down upon the collar of his robe, covering his body. Beloved, so it is with us. Christ is the anointed one. He is the head, and we, the church of Jesus Christ, are the body of Christ. And the Spirit that was poured out on him by the Father flows down on us. The Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, also now flows from Christ to us. We read in 1 John 2, verse 20, of how you have been anointed by the Holy One. Verse 27 goes on to say that the anointing that you have received from Him, that is Christ, abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Beloved, what is clear is that we have been anointed in Christ, and in that anointing we now share in Christ's threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. And we need to realize and understand that Christ did not carry out His work of redemption for us just so that we could have eternal life. Christ saved us for a purpose. We have been made new creations in Christ to fulfill a very special calling. Just as with Marika and Ethan this morning, we all as believers, young and old alike, hold a threefold office. We are a people called by God to a service to God. When you were baptized, you were anointed, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and called to be faithful to our Master, who now sends us out into the world. As prophets, as we confess, we are anointed to confess His name. We are called upon to confess the name of our Lord Jesus Christ at all times and everywhere. In His light, we see the light of God's self-revelation in creation, in history, and in redemption. In 1 John 2, verse 20, it reminds us that you've been anointed by the Holy One and you have all knowledge. God, by His Holy Spirit, has caused His Word to dwell in your hearts, in our hearts, in every heart that He draws to Himself, and to make that Word clear to us. And we have a calling to speak of all that God has spoken to us in His Word, to our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, to a world around us, to our children. Moses prayed in Numbers 11, verse 29, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." This prayer came to fulfillment on Pentecost, when all present were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to declare the glorious deeds of the Lord. And this is still our calling today, for young and old alike. And what a delight this should be. We come always with glad tidings, good news that everyone needs to hear. We've been given the glorious gift of salvation, and God wants us to share it with the world, to tell the world all about it. This is one of the great purposes for why we are in this world. We may not let our light hide under a bushel. The light of God's Word needs to shine forth from our lips. And think of all the different opportunities and the ways in which we can do this and are doing this. Every time that you are with someone or meet someone new, the opportunity arises to confess Christ's name, to tell others about the gospel. Just think of how whenever someone new asks who you are and you say, "I'm a Christian," what doors of opportunity are made open to confess His name? It is recognized that the most effective form of evangelism is a one-on-one with someone we meet at school or at work or through recreation. Confessing the name of the Lord also means talking together as families and discussing God's word around the supper table. And to confess God's word, we must also know God's word. We must always be ready to give a defense for the faith that is in us. This means, beloved, equipping ourselves with the many means available to us, whether that be in church, in study classes, in personal devotions. We must feed God's word to ourselves and to those around us. We must support the word of God going out into the world. Jesus calls us in Matthew 28 to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. To teach others, we need to also know what we're teaching well ourselves. As well, we are to serve Him as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Daily, in union and communion with Christ, we are to, as we confess, present myself to Him as a living sacrifice of thanks. Beloved, we read in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We no longer need to make any kind of sacrifice for our sins or for reconciliation with God. That great sacrifice has been made once and for all by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But as a result of Christ's work of salvation, we are certainly called upon to give Him thanks each day for this great gift of salvation that is ours. Beloved, the whole Christian life is one of saying thank you to God. That's what the Christian life is about. It's always in everything that we're doing that is an expression of our gratitude to God. Paul, in the book of Romans, in the chapters 3 through 11, gives us the indicative. It gives us what Christ has done for us. And then when we come to chapter 12, then we have this imperative of what we're called to do as a result of that. There we read, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Beloved, all that we are and have, our time, our talent, our treasures, our money, is a gift from above. And now, sanctified through Christ's blood, we are to use these gifts and talents our whole lives, continually and consistently, to the glory of God. We need to be asking ourselves, young and old alike, how can I show thanks to God each day? How do we respond when opportunities come our way to show our thanks to God? Is my life a reflection of thanksgiving to God? How thankful am I to God for what He has done for us? Does the world see this thanksgiving to God in me, in you? When our lives are a fragrant love offering of thankfulness to God, then this aroma is also enjoyed and affects the world around us. And we know that this is not always easy. This can be a daily and constant struggle. For here is where the world, the devil, and especially our own sinful self conspires to attack our Christian life. But Christ calls us as kings to, as we confess, strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. Beloved, we are always called to battle. And this battle as kings is first against our own particular sins and weaknesses, which we learn to see with increasing clarity always as we study God's word. But we are also called to battle against all the sinfulness in the world, which the devil would like to make his own. Time and again, the genuineness of our faith and union with Christ is tested in our world. And the church here on earth is not yet the church triumphant, but the church militant. Christians are kings actively engaged in warfare as soldiers of the cross. Our passage we read warns us and alerts us to the fact that the Antichrist is on the move all around us in this world. We are living in the last hour before Christ comes again, as verse 18 reminded us. And the devil is on a warpath. And we need to be soldiers of the cross on all fronts, fighting the good fight of faith. We've been given marching orders from Christ our King as well to defend the gospel against all Christ's enemies. We need to always go into the world with a clear proclamation of the truth and an equally clear repudiation of the lies that the world offers. This battle is the Christian's duty in all areas of life. We think of such things as our fight against abortion, our fight against same-sex marriage, our fight to keep the Sabbath day holy, and so many areas of concern in our world today. And here's where we too, young and old alike, are still to be active. We see every day on the news people protesting for all kinds of causes and reasons, things like climate change and other matters. May the world always see us as being just as zealous, more zealous for the cause of God's kingdom. And Christ, who rules over all things and within us, gives us grace always in this warfare. While we may suffer grief in all kinds of trials, we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 7 that these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Beloved, we may look at our lives and life may seem at times perplexing and painful, but we must always remember that Christ has all power and authority. And in him is the strength we need to also then live as kings, set free from the slavery and the tyranny of sin and the devil. Christ shows us the way. He opens the way. He defends and preserves us in the way until afterward we reign with him over all creation and for all eternity. What a freedom Christ has purchased for us and now imparts to us. He pours out the fullness of the Spirit in the Word of God. He sets us free as prophets from the lies of self and of Satan. He cancels the power of every sin and washes away all our sins and pleads for us in glory. He enrolls us under his banner and gives us power to live for him in every relationship in life. And we have this marvelous promise that the Catechism ends with. Our anointing in Christ has for us this wonderful promise that afterward we will reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. Just as we share in Christ's anointing, we also share in his glory. We read in 1 John 2 verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Beloved, what a glory will be ours as Christians. We will reign with Christ forevermore. While now we may suffer a while, there is a glory that awaits us, that is imperishable, that never fades or spoils, that is reserved in heaven for us. In closing, with this as our living hope, may we go forth living out our threefold office, living in the anointing that is ours in Christ, who enables us to fulfill our calling as Christians. Amen.